My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message is Religious Neglect. Our text, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 29. The parable of the Good Samaritan is one of the more well-known parables of Jesus. In Jesus' day, the word Samaritan was considered an insult. When the religious leaders wanted to say something ugly to Christ, what did they call him? John chapter 8, verse 48, "Then the Jews answered and said to him, 'Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?'" Who were the Samaritans? According to Wayne Jackson, the identity of the Samaritans is a matter of some dispute. Some allege that they were pagan Gentiles, brought into the land after the Assyrian invasion of the northern kingdom of Israel in the 8th century B.C. Others suggest they were renegade Israelites, a remnant left in Palestine after the Assyrian and Babylonian deportations. The probable explanation is that they were a hybrid mixture of Jews and Gentiles that developed in the post-captivity periods of Old Testament history. The parable of the Good Samaritan has changed the word Samaritan from something that was ugly to something that is beautiful. Hospitals have been named after the person in this story. Good Samaritan laws have been passed to encourage passers-by to help those in need. This morning, we will discuss the parable and suggest some lessons on true biblical love. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" It was the responsibility of the lawyer to study the Scripture and know what the law of Moses says. Jesus turned the question back on him by asking, "What does the Word of God say, and what is your understanding of what it is written?" Obviously, the lawyer was a pretty good reader because he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength." And he quotes from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This is a reminder that the answers to all religious questions are found in the Word of God. Jesus commended him for giving the right answer and said, "Do this and you will live." In other words, practice what you just said. But this man had a problem. He knew what the book said. Jesus told him to do what the book said. But he could not figure out who his neighbor was. Now, remember who was asking the question? A lawyer, an expert on the law. The law contained plenty of teachings on caring for strangers. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 17 through 19. "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and to the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Also, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. "And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The problem was, the Jews did not consider Samaritans and Gentiles their neighbor. The lawyer sought to excuse himself for not complying with the law by putting the obligation to define the word neighbor on Jesus. It is at this point Jesus indicts the lawyer by telling him the parable of the Good Samaritan. Before discussing the parable, Franklin Camp makes this interesting point. This lawyer said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" This is a theological question. Jesus took that religious question out of the temple and put it down on the rugged road from Jerusalem to Jericho and said, "There is your answer." How many of us would think about finding the answer to a controversial religious question outside the church building and down the road? My friends, I am not smart enough to come up with that. Franklin Camp died in 1991. How do you know what he said? The Adamsville Church of Christ in Alabama supported us when we were in preaching school. Not only did Brother Camp preach there, the Adamsville congregation has been entrusted with all of his Bible study material. Upon graduation, the Adamsville congregation blessed me with Franklin Camp's complete commentary on the Bible, which I listen to every day. The concepts that I present to you each week come from men like Franklin Camp, Wayne Jackson, David Padfield, Mark Copeland, and instructors for World Video Bible School. My preaching is an extension of these and other men, and I pray that is not a sin. In my mind, there is nothing new in preaching. We hear the same sermons over and over and over again. According to Jesus, the answer to the lawyer's religious question was practical. The passage that he quoted teaches that love motivates us to be busy serving others. If we love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves, there will be activities outside the building, on the road where people are in need. Unfortunately, there may be more of us like the lawyer than like the Samaritan. Too many times when opportunity arises, I have walked on by. Although we may not have the opportunity to help everyone, we have the opportunity to help someone. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man." Who was he? What was his name? Well, that's not important. The fact that here was a victim needs to be focused on. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was known as the Way of Blood because of the robbers. Here is a pitiful victim. He did not do anything to deserve such treatment. The world is full of people like him. Men and women who are stripped of righteousness, robbed of life's necessities, broken in body, and wounded in spirit. In the year 2015, are there thieves and robbers on the highway of life? Absolutely. They know no God but their own desires. Their motto, might makes right. They care not for a fellow man, his good name, his character, or his physical well-being. By the way, who is the thief that has come to steal and to kill, and to destroy our faith? Satan, the enemy of the soul. Without question, the thief was guilty of violating the law. But he is not the only one involved in this story. Two other men passed by. The first was a priest who would teach the law, and the Levite who would assist in the worship service. Here is a man wounded and left half dead, and by chance. The word chance literally means by coincidence. The priest and Levite, having been in Jerusalem serving at the temple, and it just so happened on their way home, this man was right there. They might have thought that he was dead and didn't want to become unclean for 7 days. For whatever reason, they walked on by. The priest and Levite failed the test to love God and love their neighbor. As we go about our day-to-day activities, by coincidence or chance, things are placed in our path to test our confession of faith. What about the opportunities and coincidences of life? Do we take advantage of them, or do we walk on by? Do we understand that these are tests of true Christianity? Oh, I love Jesus, but somebody else needs to handle that. When the priest and Levite saw him, they passed by on the other side. The way we look at people has a lot to do with our activities. We can look at them with eyes that are closed, or with eyes full of prejudice, or we can see them as Jesus sees them. What were the priest and Levites taught about the stranger? Exactly what the lawyer quoted. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. These two men represent the degenerate religion. They were unmoved by the pain and suffering of others. In fact, the law under which they lived required better treatment of animals. Exodus chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. The thief was guilty of breaking the law, and the priest and Levite were guilty of religious neglect. In the eyes of the Lord, who did wrong? Would we say that the thief was condemned and religious neglect was okay? We would not think about going out here and breaking the law, robbing and stealing. But how easy it is to neglect what we should be doing. What Jesus is talking about here is upsetting. My friends, more times than not, it's hard for me to look in the mirror after preaching because I am confronted with my shortcomings and weaknesses. This gets close to our conscience. As we think about the priest and Levite, we need to understand that this attitude was not universally true. In Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37, and Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Some of the Levites understood the scriptures and did their best to practice it. So let us not be guilty of putting everyone in the same class. Now, watch the Samaritan. A certain Samaritan, what is his name? It doesn't matter. His Christ-like actions are the important thing. A Samaritan was a person from whom a Jew had no right to expect any help or relief because of the hatred between the two nations. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, or by chance, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan saw the same injured man, but two of the three men saw something completely different. It is amazing how people can look at the same thing and not see the same thing. Such is the case with Bible study. Religious people read the same passages of Scripture and come up with all kinds of creeds and doctrines of men. If there is more than one correct interpretation of the Bible, then God cannot hold me responsible for getting it wrong. And I don't have to worry about being on his left or right side in judgment. But we know that many religious people will say to him on that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not done these good works in your name?" And Jesus will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Why? Because you did not follow the New Testament pattern of worship outlined in the Bible. The way we see things is determined by how we are on the inside and our attitude towards God's Word. When God said it, says it, that settles it whether we believe it or not. The Samaritan had compassion, motivated by love for God and love for his neighbor. Unlike the dishonest lawyer, the Samaritan didn't have any problem identifying his neighbor. The Samaritan could have passed by and said, "The government should provide help for people like that." He could have called 911 and said, "Oh, let's not pass by somebody on the road. You need to send somebody down there pretty quick." The Samaritan did not care for this man by proxy. He did not pay someone else to do it, but he did it himself. A great danger that we face is trying to pay people to do our work for us. "Well, preacher, what do we need you for?" Listen. The word minister, as used in the Bible, refers to everyone. We all have God-given talents that must be used in serving each other and our fellow man. Seeing this injured man, the Samaritan bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Note the phrase in verse 34, "took care of him," and in verse 35, "take care of him." There are three instances in the New Testament where the root of this phrase is found. You want to know where the third one is? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" The context is talking about elders. If they do not know how to take care of their own house, how can they take care of the church that Christ died for? In order for an elder to effectively oversee the church, the principles outlined in the Good Samaritan must be applied. Love serves, and love is personal. When we practice what we preach, by loving God with all of our heart and our neighbor as ourselves, we will have the same results, the same care, the same effort, the same energy, and the same effectiveness towards others as the Good Samaritan. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you." This Good Samaritan was persistent. He did not start a good work and not finish it. When the priest and Levite closed their eyes to this injured man, it did not cost them anything. But when the Samaritan saw the situation, it affected his wallet. One reason why we don't see things clearly is because it costs too much. It involves giving of ourselves, and an increased workload. From this verse, we also learn that the Samaritan was trustworthy. The innkeeper did not ask for his credit card. The man trusted him to come back and pay his bill. Jesus will once again test the lawyer's ability to comprehend. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." The word "do" is found three times in this parable. Verse 25, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 28, "You have answered rightly, do this and you will live." And in verse 37, "Go and do likewise." The lesson here is this: love does. Our love is proven only through actions or good works. We think about love as being an emotion based on romantic love, but that is not the definition of agape love. Biblical love is active and seeks the best for others. It is not just an emotion. Jesus has been a good Samaritan throughout his life. In fact, we could read verse 30 this way: "But a certain man named Jesus, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion." This was Jesus' mission in the world, and he wants to make good Samaritans of us. And this will happen as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his book, The Iron, the Silver, and the Golden Rule, T.B. Lattimore used the parable of the Good Samaritan to illustrate three rules of societal activity that prevail in human relationships. The Iron Rule says, "Might makes right." This was the practice of the robbers. The Silver Rule says, "Do no harm to others, but look out primarily for your own interests. The plight of others cannot be of concern." This was the practice of the priest and Levite. The Golden Rule says, "Treat others as you would like to be treated." This was the Samaritan's disposition. Lattimore said, "This parable has echoed its compassion and responsibility for the past 20 centuries. It has thrilled us and challenged us. We are humbly thankful to our Lord Jesus Christ for his life-changing instruction. There has been none to rival him." God help us to demonstrate our love for God and fellow man by doing good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. Someone this morning may be asking, "What must I do to be saved?" According to God's Word, there are five steps to salvation. You must hear God's Word in order to have faith. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and only Savior of men. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 8, verse 24. You must repent. This is a willful decision to forsake sins and live for Jesus. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You must confess Christ before men. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, Romans chapter 10, verse 10, and you must be baptized for the remission of sins, not because your sins have already been forgiven by saying the sinner's prayer. Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. After conversion, we must walk in the light as He is in the light and remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.